Today's Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 50. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who were taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading comes from James chapter 3. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed, and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. This is the word of the Lord.
Please rise. The good news according to St. Mark. And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them, and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute, and whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood, and it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, today we get another one of Jesus' amazing miracles. We get to see him do something that none of us probably could do. In fact, actually, the way our gospel reading goes, none of us could do, ever. In there, we get to see this father who brings his son to be healed by Jesus. This is a man who has a child who's grown up. He's still a child, but the word used in the scriptures is not like a little child, but a child. Probably not a young time lesson child, if that helps. He comes looking for help. And he doesn't find Jesus, not at first anyway. We skipped over a section of Mark. We've been going in the lectionary through Mark, and we skip over chapter 8 in this series of readings, but we get them later at a different time. You see, the reason that Jesus wasn't there with his other disciples is he was away with Peter, James, and John up on a mountain at the Transfiguration, where he's shown in the glory of God, and we get this great vision and image that Jesus truly is the Son of God, as he is supported and glorified before Peter, James, and John. So he comes down off of this literal mountaintop experience, and he finds people arguing. This happens a lot for Jesus. He comes in, and he sees his disciples, and he sees the scribes and the Pharisees, and everyone's arguing. What they're arguing about specifically, we can only kind of infer. But there is this man who's had this son who's been possessed with a demon. He's been sick for so long with something that we would probably describe like epilepsy, seizing and falling on the floor and foaming. And you imagine he has gone and tried everything to heal his son. He didn't have a can of chicken noodle soup, but whatever other ways they might have done in the day, he probably would have gone to their doctors. He probably would have brought him, my guess is, to the Pharisees and scribes, to the temple, finding any way he could to heal his son. And all that's left is to understand this is a demon, that he is possessed by a demon that would cause him to have these symptoms like epilepsy and would even try to kill him, tossing him into water, tossing him into fire. And here he's brought his son. He's heard about Jesus who can do amazing things. He's been casting out demons left and right all over. If anyone could do it, Jesus could. And he gets there and he finds Jesus' disciples instead. Now these disciples, they've already gone out. They've been sent out with the specific job of teaching people what Jesus had been teaching them, and they had cast out demons. They came back to Jesus. It worked. They were super excited. They told him stories about how wonderful it was. Here, they're thinking, well, Jesus is away. We'll take care of it, though. We've done this before. So they go and try to cast out the demon, and it doesn't work. It doesn't take. Maybe this is why there was that bickering and that arguing going on. Here, the Pharisees and the scribes, the doubters, have come along with those who are indeed disciples and followers of Jesus. And they're like, look, you're not doing things right. Clearly you don't actually have this power that you say that you have to cast out demons. And they're arguing back and forth. And well, Jesus said we did. You can imagine what it sounded like. Jesus comes in. He tries to figure out what's going on. And the father comes to him. Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And he describes that his son is in great despair. This is not only affecting his daily life, it could lead to his death, as it does try to toss him into fire and water. He says, I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able. He asked these men to do it. These men tried, and it didn't work. And Jesus responds with something that, as a disciple, you really don't want to hear. Oh, faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me. And then Jesus shows good bedside manner. The boy is brought to him, and he asks the father, how long has this been happening? His whole life, from childhood, often trying to cast him into fire and water to destroy him. And then he says, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. We don't know quite the inflection he used. If you can do anything, if you can do anything. We don't know how it quite sounded, but Jesus responds and we get what the Father says the next time, and it gives us an idea. Jesus says, if you can. I don't know if he's saying if you can or if you can to me. The point is, there is exasperation in his voice a little bit. If Jesus is from the Father, Jesus is God. Also, we know that the Father listens to us in prayer. It says, if you can. All things are possible for one who believes. If you can, for one who believes. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said, I believe. Help my unbelief. I felt like that sometimes. Thankfully, none of us have been falling on the floor into fire. But I believe, help my unbelief. I do believe in God. I do believe in Jesus. Help my unbelief that you can do all things. We trust in a God who can do all things. This God is able to control all of creation. He has created all of creation. Our God is able to do all things. And yet, it's hard to believe sometimes. Sometimes it's hard to believe because we can think of, well, not everything's always gone my way, and I've prayed for things, and it always hasn't happened. And yet, we still believe in a God who, in his own time and in his own ways, through his own will, does do what he wants and can do what he wants because he is God. Now, we do often pray for things. It's hard to pray for them and to pray with a strong and willful prayer. God, heal my family member. Rescue this person from danger. A lot of times we pray that in our own hearts and our minds, we're thinking, maybe, please, I hope it could work. We pray to the God who is in control of all things. Whether he will or won't do something, that is of his nature and his design to choose when and when not to do things. We pray, though, knowing that we are talking to him who can do it. Think of Jesus in the garden right before his death. He's praying fervently, saying, if this cup of wrath could be taken from me, please do so. Yet not my will, but your will be done. There's our model for how to pray. Now, I have to admit, I got excited and I jumped the gun a little bit, at least as far as our readings go. Because you see, at the end of our reading, of course, we get the disciples who say, Jesus, how come we couldn't do it? How come we couldn't cast this one out? We could do it before. And Jesus points them to what they could do, what they should have done. Pray. Notice, Jesus didn't do that, though. This one only gets cast out by prayer. Well, okay. Jesus said, out. He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. That doesn't sound like a prayer to me. But he's God. He's able to do these things because he's God. We are not God. Much as we might think that of ourselves sometimes. We pray to the God who is in control of all things, the God who can cast out demons, the God who can heal, the God who can save, the God who has saved us. We pray to the God who's shown us that he wants to hear us, and he's made us his children to listen to, that we might trust that he would listen to us. We pray to the God who has already cast out our own sinful nature from us when we stand before him. Jesus, the only one who could cast out this demon without prayer. Jesus, the only one who could die for our sins and cast that out of us as well. Jesus, the one who has saved you in a way that was even greater than how he just saved this boy. Now, I love that we just sang this song here. What a friend we have in Jesus. It's a good old faithful. I love it. I remember it from being a kid. Perhaps you may remember it in younger years as well. It's a great one. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. What needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. That's a theologically deep, rich, and wonderful stanza. And we call it a children's song. What a great and wonderful thing for us to remember. We carry everything to God in prayer. All things big, all things small. What needless grief we bear because we don't do that. We pray to a God who can do it. And we call that good. We try our best to move on, trusting that God is at work in our lives, and that he will do what is right, whether we feel like it's right or not, whatever he chooses to do. Now, I love that this is also paired for us with our Old Testament reading. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, the Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. We have the tongue of someone who is taught. You've been taught through Bible study, through your own understanding of Scripture as you read through it, through prayer, through countless sermons here from those far more experienced. You're up over the 1,000 mark, right? If I remember from a few weeks ago. We have heard countless times of God's goodness for us, God's provision for us, and Christ's sacrifice for us. You have been taught well. You have been given the tongue of one who is taught. That tongue can be used in amazing ways. We read in James chapter 3 that it can also be used in some pretty poor ways. The tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. Whew. That tongue can be difficult to work with sometimes. This tongue is often directly connected to our two natures, the sinfulness in us and the Christ who lives in us as well. How often have we, I don't know if this is your problem quite as much as it is mine, spoken without thinking. This has been my constant problem from childhood. Speaking and thinking while doing it has been a great tool for me. I process verbally, perhaps you do as well. But also, sometimes I say things where I'm like, can I go back and edit that off? Maybe. I have a pastor that helped train me in preaching as well, who he said, a lot of times I'll pray to God and I'll say a prayer and I'll think about it. And as I'm still praying, I'll say, no, God, I'll go back. Not that, please. I'll pray for something else instead. He has that problem with talking to God, too. This tongue of ours is difficult to control. You have a tongue that is indeed affected by our own sinful nature. And yet you also have the tongue of one who has been taught, who knows what is far greater than what our own sinful nature would bring. A tongue that is far greater than whatever remedy you could find here on earth to heal all sorts of brokenness. Jesus' tongue in our gospel reading was used to comfort a father and cast out a demon. And he told the disciples their tongues could be used in prayer to do the same. Your tongue has the great ability to either lead to confusion and squabble and bickering, or your tongue can also be used to bring great life and peace, because it knows the word that can sustain him who is weary. Now, I mentioned that we skipped over Mark chapter 8, and I know that we'll get it at a different part in our lectionary series. Don't worry, Mark 8 will show up again. But I especially love a connection for today. You see, in Mark chapter 8, Jesus is finally having a moment to walk with his disciples unimpeded by bickering. And he asks them, who do people say that I am? And they say, well, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Others say at least one of the prophets. I don't know. He's clearly someone important. And then he asks, well, but who do you say that I am? And Peter steps up, again, one like me, a tongue that just blah, 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 says things. Thankfully, it was this time the one with the tongue who is taught and says, you are the Christ. You are the Christ. Your tongue has been taught that many times. Your heart has been taught that. Jesus is the Christ. He is the one who can do all things, and in fact does all things well. Jesus, the Christ, is the word that sustains all men, all mankind. All need to hear that Jesus is the Christ, the one who can cast out demons, the only one who could die for the whole world's sins, the one who did it, the one who has made you right before God by giving you faith through the Holy Spirit, that you can trust in what he's done for you. Your tongue has been taught and trained both to pray and to tell others that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Everyone can come to him in prayer. Whether that means they need to be taught or they've been doing it for years, we all need to be sustained by hearing that Jesus is the Christ. We often think about saying that to those who don't know Jesus. And of course, that's a big and important part of being a Christian, sharing the good news that we have. But we also need to keep teaching our brothers and sisters the same way we need to be taught. We need more sermons. We need more Bible study. We need more prayer. We need more fellowship with those who know that Jesus is the Christ. We need that regularly. We need to keep being taught, because the sinful nature is still there, this side of heaven at least. Until we are fully made right before God by Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Christ is still your Savior today. He is the one who sustains you in all things. He is the one who has allowed you, who has made a way for you to pray directly to your Father in heaven, to the one who is in control of all things. You are one who is taught. You have a tongue. Control it. And pray that God will help you do so. In fact, just pray that he'll do it. God, control my tongue. Use it well. Use it wisely. That I may continue to sustain others, to tell them that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior of the world. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. May our God bless you and keep you. May God make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he look on you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. And go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.